Good morning. Welcome to this 4th of July holiday. We've got a few announcements, so we'll get started a little early today. Dan Tai has an announcement about Luann Domes. Okay.
Although many people tell me I don't need it. I have a couple of announcements. What I want you to know about Luann is that on our website, if you go under the mission tab on the menu, just wander around the menu and look for the mission tab. There is a link that's Malawi blog, and Luann will be posting things to that. There also is a link to the blog now on our Facebook page, which you can just find by searching if you're on Facebook. The other thing I wanted to tell you about today is that the Transition Committee is very thankful for all of your input on the surveys, and we have made provisions for shut-ins and folks like that to have an opportunity to do the surveys. And we wanted to remind you again that every Christ Lutheran member of your household should consider filling out a survey, because these are going to be extremely helpful in the focus for calling a new pastor. Thank you.
And Josie?
Okay, I'll use the mic too. Two quick things. There are still sign-up weeks for tending the garden. The sign-up is on that table in the narthex. And second of all, the sign-ups are out for VBS. We still need a teacher for 3, 4, or 5-year-olds. That could maybe shift around. We need helpers for kitchen. We need helpers for classrooms. We need helpers in general. Sign-ups for people help are on the back, and as well as food. Every year we serve about 100 people, so each church has a sign-up for food. Ours is on the back table as well. All of the food needs to be here at the church in the kitchen by Thursday, July 27th, if I've got that date correct. Thank you.
I forgot, and this time I won't use mine, be very brief. I forgot to mention, I will be in the fellowship hall after the service today, and if any of you would like to have a little more information on how to reach these resources on the web, I'll be there to show you, because we now have a computer hooked up to our 40-inch television set.
Okay. A couple of other announcements. On July 16th, the Barbershop Chorus from Colfax will be here, and they will start our worship service. We might start a few minutes early to give them a little extra time, because they want to make 4 churches in Menominee within an hour. So they're going to sing really fast. Another announcement about the table in the back. I would like to have a worship committee formed again. to give me help with choosing hymns, to understand which hymns the congregation knows, which ones they don't know, or which ones they'd like to sing more often, and also for planning out worship services. And also if anyone would be interested in serving as a worship assistant on Sunday mornings, there's something you can sign back there as well. Then let us rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We join in singing our hymn, "Mine Eyes Have Seen the Glory." Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, full of compassion and mercy, abounding in steadfast love.
Amen.
Trusting God's promise of forgiveness, let us confess our sin against God and one another. Eternal God, our Creator, in you we live and move and have our being. Look upon us, your children, the work of your hands. Forgive us all our offenses, and cleanse us from proud thoughts and empty desires. By your grace, draw us near to you, our refuge and our strength, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, given to us. In the mercy of Almighty God, Christ died for us while we were still sinners. And for his sake, God forgives you all your sins.
Amen. Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you.
And
also with you. Let us share the peace of Christ that we have through his forgiveness with one another. Peace be with you. Peace be with you, Gary. Peace be with you. Peace be with us. Peace be with you. 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 In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Feast of let us pray. O God, you direct our lives by your grace, and your words of justice and mercy reshape the world. Mold us into a people who welcome your word and serve one another. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated.
Good morning. Our first reading is from Jeremiah chapter 28. The prophet Jeremiah spoke to the prophet Hananiah in the presence of the priests and all the people who were standing in the house of the Lord. And the prophet Jeremiah said, "Amen. May the Lord do so. May the Lord fulfill the words that you have prophesied and bring back to this place from Babylon the vessels of the house of the Lord and all the exiles. But listen now to this word that I speak in your hearing and in the hearing of all the people. The prophets who preceded you and me from ancient times prophesied war, famine, and pestilence against many countries and great kingdoms. As for the prophet who prophesies peace, when the word of that prophet comes true, then it will be known that the Lord has truly sent the prophet." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We will read Psalm 89 and read the bold responsibly. Your love, O Lord, forever will I sing. From age to age, My mouth will proclaim your faithfulness.
For I am persuaded that your steadfast love is established forever. You have set your faithfulness firmly in the heavens.
I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn an oath to David, my servant.
I will establish your line forever and preserve your throne for all generations.
Happy are the people who know the festal shout. They walk, O Lord, in the light of your presence.
They rejoice daily in your name. They are jubilant in your righteousness.
For you are the glory of their strength, and by your favor our might is exalted.
Truly our shield belongs to the Lord, our King, to the Holy One of Israel.
Our second reading is Romans chapter 6. Do not let sin exercise dominion in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions. No longer present your members to sin as instruments of wickedness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and present your members to God as instruments of righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Should we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that you, having once been slaves of sin, have become obedient from the heart to the form of teachings to which you were entrusted, and that you, having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to greater and greater iniquity, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness for sanctification. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. So what advantage did you get then from the things of which you now are ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now that you have been freed from sin and enslaved to God, the advantage you get is sanctification. The end is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hallelujah, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew chapter 10. He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet because he is a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man because he is a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives to one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he shall not lose his reward. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's a song, a hymn that we sang from time to time when I was growing up. I'm but a stranger here. Heaven is my home. Earth is a desert drear. Heaven is my home. Danger and sorrow stand round me on every hand. Heaven is my fatherland. Heaven is my home. Therefore I murmur not. Heaven is my home. Whate'er my earthly lot, heaven is my home. And I shall surely stand there at the Lord's right hand. Heaven is my fatherland. Heaven is my home. It used to be in the Lutheran hymnal that we used when I was growing up, but you can't find it in any Lutheran hymnal anymore. On this 4th of July weekend, we consider the question, what does it mean to be a citizen? In Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, the Apostle Paul says, but our citizenship is in heaven. And so for us as Christians, it's always that balance, that walking that thin line of what does it mean to be a citizen of heaven. At the same time, we are a citizen of this country that we live in, or whatever country we might be a citizen of. When a country is born, they usually have some kind of a document that they have. And the document at times, it's never a perfect document, because it's always a document in progress. The Declaration of Independence, written before our country was formed, and is quite a bold document when you read it. There are some parts of it that are very noble. And the ones that we hear quoted again and again, the pursuit of life, liberty, or life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, right? Is that okay? But if you read that whole document, I don't know how many of you have ever read it all the way through, there are some pretty nasty things that are said in there. One of the things that's not mentioned, but that was, if you were living then, would have been before your eyes every day, Thomas Jefferson, who wrote it, had slaves on his plantation, men, women. But yet when he wrote the document, he says, you know, all men are created equal, which would basically mean that it was difficult for him to see those who were slaves as equal human beings to him. Toward the end of the document, it has a phrase in there referring to the Native Americans, and he talks about those savage Indians who are out to kill man, woman, and child. An imperfect document, to be sure. When the colonies came together, they formed the Articles of Confederation, but later they cast them aside, and they spent the whole summer long coming up with the Constitution. And what a brilliant document it is. And yet after a few years, they realized, but this still is an imperfect document, and we need to add some amendments to this document. And so to this very day, there is the possibility for our country to add yet more amendments to say, well, this is not quite what we want to say. This needs to be added to the Constitution. And so we are living in this process of always adding. Just like with our nation, we are always maturing as a nation. And in that process, there can be some very bloody times. It can be that other nations would invade our country. Can you imagine if you were a citizen of Poland, and after every war, your borders either shrank or were expanded enormously, depending on who actually won the war and what they wanted to make of Poland? What does it mean to be a Polish citizen? or in our own country, we haven't been invaded from the outside. But there was a fighting and the struggles from within and much bloodshed as our nation was trying to evaluate what are our values as a people. What is it that we stand up for? There's a story from the Civil War. One day President Lincoln went to visit the battlefield that was close by Washington, D.C. And when he came to the battlefield, he went to the hospital. And there was a man who was close to death. And Lincoln sat down next to him. And he asked the man, "Is there something you would like for me to do? Would you like for me to write a letter to somebody?" And the man said, "Would you please write a letter?" And so he told Lincoln who to address it to, and he dictated the letter to Lincoln, and Lincoln printed his name on the bottom and then signed his own name. And he showed it to the man for him to read it through and to see if he had gotten it accurately. And the man looked at the bottom and saw that there was a signature of President Abraham Lincoln. And he asked, "Are you really the president?" And Lincoln said, "Yes." And he said, is there something else that I could do for you?" And the man said, "Could you hold my hand?" And so the president took his hand and held his hand until the man died. One of the values that we have as citizens of this country is kindness, especially toward people that are in need. As a nation, we keep learning what it is to be a citizen of this country. And our being Christians could be likened to salt in this nation, in this country. Because as Christians, we see things a little differently than the average citizen who is not a believer in Jesus Christ sees them. Because we know that our final home is not going to be here on earth. Now, it could be, or it seems to be, that when people are younger, they can get the feeling, in nations as well, get the feeling that we can take care of all the evil problems in the world, well, in our country at least, if not the world. And they set about trying to make everything right. Back in the 1920s, was it, there was a pastor named Rauschenbusch in New York City, and was famous for the social gospel. And as a Christian pastor, his goal was to get the people to make a just society here on earth. But as a person gets older in life, and when you don't have that kind of strength and energy that you can take on the world, you begin to realize, but there is something for us beyond this life. Something that is sure, a sure hope for us, which was given to us as we came to believe in Jesus Christ. And through that faith in Jesus Christ, it gives us a confidence to act boldly. An example of someone, a Christian, a devoted Christian, who acted on the basis of his faith, acted boldly, and it wasn't in agreement with the government, but he stood up against the government. And that person's name was Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He was a theologian, a pastor in Germany, a writer of many books. And when he became a pastor, he actually got his doctor's degree in Germany when he was 21. but he couldn't be ordained as a pastor until he was 24. And so he came to the United States and studied here for a few years until he got to be 24. And he was studying at Union Theological Seminary in New York, and he was learning to drive, and he failed his driver's license test 4 times. For being a very intelligent man, he mustn't have been very practical, I don't know. But when he got to be 24, he went back to Germany, and he became a pastor there. And he also became a professor at the theological school in Berlin. And when Hitler came to power, and when Hitler stood up against the Jews and said, "We want to eliminate them from all public activities," Dietrich Bonhoeffer, in a sermon that he gave on the radio in Berlin, spoke out as the first one, spoke out against Hitler and what he was trying to do. And during that sermon, he was cut off. And he was soon fired from his position as professor of theology. The German Lutheran Church, for the most part, backed Hitler. At least 70% or 80% of the pastors gave their support to Hitler. But Bonhoeffer was one of the first people to form a group called the Confessing Church, a group of pastors that stood up against Hitler. And he formed a seminary in Pomerania in the northern part of Germany. And it didn't take long until the government heard about this seminary and they closed it down, and the seminary went underground. And so the professors would go and visit these students in their homes and bring them their teaching as they were learning to be pastors, studying to be pastors. Bonhoeffer, as time went on, joined the resistance movement in Germany against Hitler. And his reasoning for it was, if you see a bus that is headed for a group of children on the sidewalk and it's headed straight for them, you can stand there and let the bus hit the children and then be there, be ready to help any of the survivors to the hospital. Or you can try and do everything you can to stop the bus. And so that's how he looked at his trying to do whatever was possible to stop Hitler in what he was trying to do as the ruler in Germany. So he joined the resistance movement. They made the plot against Hitler's life. It failed. Hitler was only injured. And it was soon found out that Bonhoeffer was part of the plot. He was put into prison. While he was in prison, he became a pastor to the guards in prison. And at one point, he was sent to a concentration camp in Buchenwald and then another prison. And a trial was held, and he was put to death the next morning, 3 weeks before Hitler committed suicide. What a powerful witness he was through his life and through his death. For him, it wasn't just sitting back and being a Christian who kind of accepted everything the government was doing, but he realized the government was acting against his Christian faith. And so he was going to do whatever he could to stand up on behalf of those people who are being unjustly treated. What does it mean to you to be a citizen of this country? To be sure, there are going to be times when you won't agree with government stands. But our government allows us to protest. Our government allows us and encourages us that if you don't agree with something, that you work to change it, but to change it in a peaceful manner. What a blessing we have to live in this land. And yet we also know there is much that needs to be improved. We know that there are times when each one of us needs to show more kindness toward those around us, right here in this community. There are times that we know that we as citizens need to back those people who are willing to stand up for what we believe in, for what is right. Will we always be on the right side? No. We'll find out later on sometime, boy, I sure blew it at that point. I sure didn't know what I should have known. And yet, because of the forgiveness that we have in Jesus Christ, we are bold to attempt to do what we believe is best. May we this weekend, these days, certainly give thanks to God for what we have. But may we also pray to God that we might be made yet a people that is brought closer to Him each day. For Jesus' sake. Amen. May the peace of God, which goes far beyond our human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We join in singing our next hymn. Please rise. Let us join in confessing our Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We now receive the offering. Please be seated. please rise.
The vineyards be fruit, the Lord, and gild to the brim our cup of blessing. Gather the harvest from the seed that we sow. With the bread of life, gather the hopes and the dreams of all. Connect them with the prayers of God.
Merciful God, you open wide your hand and satisfy the need of every living thing. You have set this feast before us. Open our hands to receive it. Open our hearts to embrace it. Open our lives to live it. We pray this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
We join in prayer. This morning we pray for our nation, our leaders, President Trump, Vice President Pence, all those who have been elected to the Senate, to the House of Representatives. We have entrusted them, Lord, with the responsibility to be the ones to guide our nation. May your Holy Spirit guide them in this task. Lord, in your mercy. On this day we remember all who travel, all who are on vacation, all families that have come together. May this be a time of healing for all. Lord, in your mercy. We remember Luanne Domes and all who have traveled to Malawi. Watch over them, Lord. May it be a time of learning and a time of sharing. Lord, in your mercy. We remember all who are in the military as well as their families. We remember those who are in government service at all levels, local, state, and in our country. Give them the understanding and the realization that you are always there to hear their concerns, their prayers. Lord, in your mercy. We remember those who are in need of healing. Kathy Falk, Lexan Groh, Gordon and Carolyn Hemming, Lavera Larson, Maxine Cole, Joyce Johnson, Ray Millett, LaVon Swanson, Sam Zender. We remember those who are in nursing homes. Lord, in your mercy. For these and all things in our hearts, we entrust them to you, O Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ. We pray, dear Lord, that your Holy Spirit would be working within us to change us each day to be more like you would have us to be. And so it is that with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in your heart.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." We join in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come, for all is prepared. The body of Christ given for you. 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 The blood of Christ shed 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 for you. Go in peace. Please rise. Jesus Christ, host of this meal, you have given us not only this bread and cup, but your very self, that we may feast on your great love. Filled again by these signs of your grace, may we hunger for your reign of justice. May we thirst for your way of peace, for you are Lord forevermore.
Amen.
May God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine, grant you the gifts of faith and hope. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Amen.
We join in singing, "Before You, Lord, We Bow."